to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Everybody say Merry Christmas again. It's good. I don't know about you. I always enjoy this time of the year. And I always have from a small boy enjoyed the Christmas season and looking forward to it again. I want to talk to you today about something. I think I may have taught on it one time 20 years ago or something, or mentioned it, but never to the depth I want to talk about it today. One of the questions I had, have you ever thought about all the unique things God did to bring about the first Christmas? Magi, you know, you don't have magi in your thinking before. You don't have magi afterwards. We had the star. Remember the star that showed them where the child was. That was something unique the Lord did. A virgin having a baby. That was another unique thing. But one of the things I want to talk on today, even though it's going to revolve in the Christmas story, it has not really a Christmas message. And that was one of the things God used to protect Jesus before he was born and then after he was born and then toward the end of his life also. And that was something called, maybe seem odd to you, that was something called dreams. Everybody say dreams, would you? And I'm not talking about the dream like a vision, having a vision for your life, a dream for your life. I'm talking about literal dreams. And one of the reasons it stands out to me was we were going the week of Thanksgiving. We always try to go to my mom and dad's with all the rest of my family in Mobile, Alabama, up in Saraland. And we were going on Wednesday. And my brother, my sister and her husband from Virginia was coming Wednesday night late, and others were going to come on Thursday. And so we were all going to gather there. And my brother-in-law and my sister decided, unknown to anybody else, that they didn't tell anyone, they left early. He'd gotten up at 5:30 in the morning on Tuesday morning and worked the whole day. And they left at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, heading from Virginia, that's where they live, down to Mobile, Alabama. And they have a big motorhome, and so they were going to stop. Their idea was they didn't tell anybody, so they're not expected. So they were going to stop, and probably he was exhausted. He was going to sleep, you know, just pull off on one of the exits and fire up the generator and sleep, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours and make the trip, you know, gradually where it wouldn't be so tough a trip. And it's about a 11, 12-hour trip, so 10, 11, 12-hour trip. So as they're doing, he goes to sleep, and, you know, they take their first stop. They're going to plan on maybe 3, 4 hours sleep and rest there. He has a dream. And in this dream, his mom and dad, who are deceased, and he has a brother and a sister who also has passed away, all four of them come to him in a dream. And he looks at him, he says, "What are you doing here?" And he said, and they said to him, "What are you doing here?" And it made him so disturbed, he got back up and started driving again. About 4 hours down the road, he decides to pull off again and sleep because he's exhausted, been up, and he's driving all the way through the night. He said, "I could do that when I was a young guy, but I can't do that anymore." He tried to go to bed, and that dream came back on him, and he had to get back up and keep driving. They got to the subdivision, and my sister, I don't know where she got this from, but she calls my mother on the phone and says, "Hey, Mom, we're thinking about leaving. You know, we're thinking about, you know, maybe go ahead and pull on out, you know, start coming here." You know, she's going to surprise them, not tell them they're in their subdivision. And my mom says, "Well, your dad is real sick. I think he's having a heart attack." And my sister says, "We're in the subdivision. We're not leaving. We're in the subdivision." And so they immediately, within about 5 minutes, are at my mom and dad's house. They walk in. My dad has been, you know how guys are, "I don't need to go. Don't call 911. I don't need anything." And walks in. My sister immediately dials 911. My brother-in-law, who, and what we didn't know was dad was in the throes of a massive heart attack. What we didn't know was that but my brother-in-law had some stents, and so he was carrying a little bottle of nitroglycerin. And he immediately walks in there and puts one under my dad's tongue. Well, my sister's on the phone with 911, and she's, you know, giving the info, and then nonchalantly she says, "Yeah, my husband just gave him nitroglycerin." And the 911 operator, which was really correct for her to do, you know, went ballistic. Don't ever give non-prescribed medicines to someone. Don't act like a doctor if you're not a doctor. I mean, that's good advice. And so my brother-in-law felt bad, but when EMS got there, first thing they did was put another nitroglycerin under his tongue. So he felt better. And my dad's 80 years old, and they rush him in, take him straight into surgery, and they put, I believe it was 5 stents they put into his heart. And he was completely blocked in one of his main arteries, and they put 3 in that one. And then he told me, the doctor said he put 2 more. We're not sure, but he put 2 more in the backside of his heart. And so we go there, and when I get there, we get there sometime Wednesday. We drive over very fast and get over there pretty quick. And we go in, and the doctor tells us, you know, he's had a massive heart attack. We put some stents in. We'll know more in the morning. We go back in the morning. My dad's alert. He's talking. He's joking with the nurses, on and on. And in 2.5 days later, he gets out of the, 3.5 days later, he gets out of the hospital. And the doctor told us, you know, with every heart attack that size, there's always heart damage. But we did an echogram on him, and we can't tell where there's any damage to his heart. Come on, somebody. And, so he, 7 days later, he's on the road driving, and he's back rolling again. But the one good thing was they have decided to move down here. So they're going to move down to Baton Rouge, so we're looking forward to it. So we'll have a good... But the reason I brought all that up was the Lord used a dream to stir my brother-in-law to keep coming to Baton Rouge. I mean, to Mobile. And that dream literally helped save my dad's life. And the reason I bring that up today is because dreams is something of the Lord. Dreams is not the New Age. Dreams were not created by the New Age movement. Dreams were not something that some abnormal part of us that outside of God's design. We'll see that. But dreams is something God used. In fact, let's begin to read. Look at Matthew chapter 1. It says, "But as he considered these things," this is Joseph thinking about putting away Mary, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a what?" You ever wondered about that? Why didn't the angel just appear to him in the morning, you know, when he's out there with his hammer and beginning to go? Why did an angel appear to him in a dream? All right. But it says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary." Look at Matthew chapter 2. "And being warned in a dream," this is a magi. Being warned in a what? In a what? "Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed and went to their own country." Look at verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph," what? "In a what?" Here's that he appears to Joseph, not literally, not in the daytime, but at night when he's sleeping, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream. Watch this. It's incredible what the Lord does. Look at, go on to verse 19. "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a what? In a dream when he's down in Egypt." Now, first he appeared in a dream, you know, go to Egypt. Now he appears in a dream to Joseph and tells him, now, you know, Herod's dead. You can go back home now. Look at verse 22. "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a what?" Being warned in a dream, the Bible says he knew where to go. And notice how the Lord protected and directed and gave counsel and gave information. And all of this occurred to Joseph in a dream, the Magi the same way. And Psalms 139 says it this way, "I praise you, for I am what? And what? Wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows quite well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made." And we have progressed so much in medicine and what we have learned and discovered about the human body that God knew, you know, from the beginning. He created us, but we're discovering just the incredibleness, not only of the universe, and you saw the recent discoveries of that, that, you know, there's probably three times more stars than what they thought, and on and on and on. But we're not only going macro, we're going micro, what we're understanding about the human body and all that we're discovering. And year by year, medicines are so different than what they were, and procedures are changing. But one of the things about you were not only fearfully but wonderfully made was God created every one of us with the ability to dream. It's not some aberration. It's not some function of demonic. It is absolutely a creation of God that He created our bodies, our minds, our soul with the ability to dream. And it's not just some, you know, appendix that needs to be cut out one day and that way we won't have to deal with that anymore. It is a very vital part of your makeup that God has created us. In fact, scientists believe that most of us dream about 500 dreams a night. Come on, somebody. And yeah, no one. And so, you know, I remember when we first got married, the first time we were sleeping in bed, Jasmine started talking Armenian. I never, you know, just wake up and you hear Armenian going up in your, you know, this strange language taking place. And complete dreams that appear to take hours or days or years in your dreams actually only take a second or two or less than a second or two. It's like this. You ever had a dream and woke up and there was like there was a bang or a noise or something going on and your mind or your body made a complete dream about it? And you know, it's like it lasted, it was year dream or a day dream or, you know, maybe a few moments dream. But actually, within a split second, let me tell you how fearfully and wonderfully you're made. In a split second, you can hear a noise in the night and your mind can create an entire dream that seems like an hour long in a split second. And the moment that noise, suddenly you're having a dream about a shot being shot, or you're dreaming about a dog, or you're dreaming whatever it may be. You are fearfully and something made. You're really made real good. Now, one of the things you need to understand, God has created our bodies with a function to be able to get rid of waste. Let's just say it very tactfully that way, physically. All right, there's function that we just do that, and it works for all of us. There's also functions God's put within us, not only physically, but emotionally. And I believe one of those things is sleep. You know, sleep, God could have made us, created us in a way where we did not need sleep. Is that right? He could have created us where we didn't need sleep. We could have just been up 24/7, never slept, never needed sleep. Just walk on till the day we kick over, and we just kick over, and that's the end of it. We're going to be that way in heaven. But God created us with a way that we need to sleep every day. We need 8 hours sleep, basically, is what most people tell us. You know, you know, if you do more than that, you're wasting time. I'll just say it that way. And if you do less, you never catch back up. But you need sleep every day of your life. Why do we need that? Well, we know we need that for our bodies to replenish ourselves. But what other thing I believe, I'm going to throw this out to you. I believe not only do we need it physically, but we need it mentally. Because I believe that dreams, and scientists tell us we probably dream about 500 times a night. Dream, most of us, you know, remember none of them unless you wake up and suddenly you remember what you dreamed. I believe that dreams is a way for our mental capacity to sort through the day, and whether you call them file it, put it into our memory, whatever it is, God created us with the ability to dream. And you need to really remember that, because dreaming is of God. It's not of the devil. It's not of anything. And one of the bugs everywhere. One of the things is, and I believe one of the major reasons is during the sleep and through dreaming, let me say it again this way. Our minds are able to process the events of the day. That's why many times you dream about what, you know, when you do remember, you wake up in the night and you're dreaming, you're remembering something that you're concentrating on, something you watched, something you dealt with that day. And it's a way that our body, our mentally, our mental capacities are processing through the events of a day. And I believe it's something, Lord, and I believe that probably accounts for 99% or more of our dreaming life. Because It's just like talking and thinking. Dreaming was something created by God to process the things that we are experiencing in a day, whether it's to help memorize it or in our memory, what it may be. Now, during these times, dreams, listen to this. Most scientists believe there's a cycle in our sleep, in our deepest sleep, that we dream. It's called REM. How many of you have heard of REM? The rapid eye movement sleep. That's a series when you go into a very deep sleep. And it's during that period that when they've studied this, that you've got rapid eye movement. It's called the rapid eye movement sleep. It's the deep sleep. It's about a 90-minute cycle, they say some, and some disagree with that. But your eyes are rapidly moving. Now, listen to this. There are many scientists now that believe you simply are not dreaming, but you are watching your dreams. Watch this. They believe that you're not just dreaming, that you're hearing, you know, like you're reading a book. You're actually viewing your dreams. That's why they believe in the rapid eye movement. When your eyes are moving, you are actually watching your dreams. Everybody say, I am fearfully, wonderfully made, one more time, are you? See, long before there was 3D TV, high def, long before all that stuff, we were already doing some of it because it's created by God. And God created us with unique features. And in most of the dreams we encounter, but let me say it again, most of the dreams we encounter are simply our I don't want to say our subconscious, but our minds and our mental capacities sorting through the day's events, things we've lived through, things we're going through. Now, He created us, God did, with the ability to see, to dream. And one of the keys about it is you need to know this. I believe it has a healing impact on our lives. I believe it has a healing, just like our body has the ability to heal itself from cuts and wounds and other things. I believe one of the healing things God's put in us mentally is this thing called dreaming. I think that's why a good night's sleep is very important, not only physically, but mentally, because it gives our bodies the ability to rejuvenate, begin to do. And one of the keys, not only physically, but mentally, during this thing called dreams, we have the ability to sort through a day, file it away. And in fact, the reason I say that is the word for dream in the Old Testament is the word harlem, which means to make whole or healthy. That's what the word dream in the Old Testament meant. It meant to make whole or to make healthy. And mankind has always been fascinated with dreams. Long before, from the very dawn of creation, you'll see in the Nineveh had a complete library of a dream called a dream library. And they recorded dreams and all that they did. In the Bible, there's over 250 references to dreams found in the Bible, things that took place. And I will tell you that I believe that there is a healthiness to understanding that part of our body God has made us to where we dream. And again, let me say this. It's like looking for demons under every doorpost, you know, every stone rather. It's dreams, I think 99.7 is simply your mental capacity processing the day's activities and doing whatever it is that God created the dreams to. I believe it is a health to our bodies that God gave us dreams and the ability to dream. I want to ask you three questions and then we're going to pray today. It's kind of a little different teaching, but number one is this. Why did God use dreams in the Bible? Why did God use dreams in the Bible? Have you ever wondered why God uses dreams and used dreams? Let me back up and just use the idea of visions, because I believe a vision is a waking dream. It's an open dream. It's something you have while you're awake. I'll call it a waking dream. But Acts chapter 10 was a story of Peter. You remember the next day they were on their journey and approaching the city. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens open, something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth, and all kinds of animals. And that's as far as I want to read. And well, I'm sorry, go ahead. In verse 13, look at verse 13. There came a voice, rise, kill, and eat, Peter. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. Verse 14 and verse 15. Voice came a second time, what I've called, clean, don't call common. Verse 16. It happened three times. Everybody say three times. You ever had a dream more than once? Verse 17. Now, while Peter was inwardly what? Perplexed. And I always wanted to say, why didn't Jesus just appear on the rooftop to Peter? Say, Peter, here's the deal. Jews aren't the only ones. We're going to include Gentiles, so get with it and get on the program. That's it. That and just vanish. He didn't do that. He used imagery to speak to Peter. And, you know, then these Gentiles showed up and on and on. And I always want to say, why didn't Jesus just appear to Peter, sit down, have a classroom, you know, and okay, get your pad out. Peter, here's the deal. I'm going to dictate to you now. Gentiles are included, and they are as clean as Jews, and get it through your thick skull and da-da-da, love Jesus, bye. Just backward. Why did he do that? The Bible says he did. He has this elaborate imagery that takes place of a sheep coming down, dirty animals, da-da-da. See, because God knows how best to teach us. And the things that he does is he has myriad ways of communicating to us. And as I said, I believe a vision is just an open dream or a waking dream. And he's having this and he's perplexed. It takes a little while for interpretation. The same thing with Daniel. Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions on his head. He lay in his bed and then he wrote down this dream. Everybody say dream. And told the sum of the matter. Daniel said, I saw in my vision at night, and behold, four winds of heaven was stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. He said, I saw this great thing, and he's perplexed. And why didn't God just come down and say, okay, Daniel, I want to tell you about the kingdoms that are going to come on the earth after Babylon. That's who he was under at that point. And then the next one will be Greece. Medes and Persians. The next one will be Greece, and the next one will be Rome. And I just want to tell you about it. But he didn't. He used a dream and he spoke to Daniel in a dream and imagery. And there's a reason. So he spoke. Look at the verse 15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious and the vision in my head alarmed. You ever had a dream that alarmed you? He had a dream and he says, I was anxious about it and I was alarmed about it. All right. Look, I approached one of those who stood there and asked the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the dream, the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. So you've got to get that in your brain. Many times the Lord spoke, not always, but many times the Lord would speak in parables for a reason. In Matthew 13, he tells it. Listen to what he says. Then the disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered to them, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. Let me tell you something about a lost person. It has not been given to them to know the secrets of the kingdom. It has not been given to John Edwards to know the secrets of the kingdom. This may shock you. It's not been given to Oprah to know the secrets of the kingdom. She may have a zillion dollars, but it has not been given to her to know the secrets of the kingdom. So if I wanted to know a secret, I wouldn't go to Dr. Phil. I wouldn't go, to a secular option to learn the secrets of the kingdom. Because it's been given unto us, but not unto them to know the secrets of the kingdom. And Jesus said the ability has been given to you, but not to them. And a dream, as I said, I believe is an open, is a sleeping vision. So when you begin to do that, you just need to know. Not all dreams were symbolic. Like I said, Polycarp, if you've done any church study, was believed. He was burned at the stake, but he had been given a dream about that years before. And when it came to pass, he was okay. St. Augustine listed all the dreams that he'd had and the Lord had given him. Jerome, who was a great translator of the Bible, was converted by a dream the Lord gave him. And dreams were always used in the Bible. Generally, they had two main reasons for God giving a dream. One was to warn of coming events or judgment. To warn of a coming event or a judgment. God uses dreams to warn us of a coming event are a judgment. And you can see throughout the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, all known. And then the second one is to give specific guidance and direction. You saw that in the birth of Jesus. Joseph was continually directed and warned and given guidance on how to care for Jesus. He had to be a very big concern to him when he was about to. How many of you would have been concerned to raise the Son of God? Wouldn't you think you a little bit? And he was given direction and over again through a dream. And you got to remember this because there were all kinds of dreams. There are reminder dreams. And you can look at all the scriptures there if you want to. There, in Genesis 15, he reminds Abraham of his plans and promises. And in Genesis 28, Jacob is assured that God's still with him. In Judges, Gideon is assured that God will give him victory in a dream. And remember that? And in fact, he goes down and God says he's scared. And God says, go down and listen to the camp and over-listen. He goes down and over-listens. And there's two guys and they say, we had dreams last night. What was your dream? I dreamed, and he's talked about this, that happened. He said, I dreamed, and another one heard, I had a kind of a same kind of dream, but this, and they said, what do you think it means? They said, we think Gideon's going to stop us. Come on, somebody. And he went back and said, I feel encouraged. Come on, I feel encouraged in God. So dreams can be something that can encourage. Second one is warning dreams. God, I love Genesis 20. I was going to read that. Genesis 20 is the story of Abraham goes into a certain foreign land. And the Bible says he's scared. And so he tells Sarah, tell everybody you're my sister, not my wife. So he tells everybody, they come and the king Abimelech of the country says, who is that? And Abraham said, that's my sister, which was a half lie, which is a total lie. Come on, somebody. And so Abimelech, I mean, Sarah's about 80 years old. And the Bible says, or not quite that old, but older. And the Bible says Abimelech likes her and takes her as his wife. And he's doing nothing wrong. And he hasn't touched her. He just brought her into the kingdom, took her in as his wife. And the Bible says that night in a what? In a dream, God comes to Abimelech and says, these are the starting words. And you know you're in trouble if God ever comes to you and says this. Thou art a dead man. Come on, somebody. That's exactly what God said. How many of you have ever had a nightmare? You ever had a nightmare? That would be a nightmare to me for God to come and say, thou art a dead man. And Abimelech said, what have I done? He said, you've taken this prophet. He called Abraham a prophet. You've taken his wife. And he says, in the innocence of my, he said, that's why I kept you from touching her. Now restore her to him and then restore all this money. Give it all to him. And the Bible says all of that occurred through a dream. In fact, amazing. Matthew 2, God warns the Magi. Then there's repetitive dreams. That's where you have some dreams over and over again. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh, remember, has a dream, and he goes back to bed, has another dream. And it's repetitive dreams. It's dreams about the same thing. You'll read about Daniel. Same thing. He had dreams about different things. He had dreams about the kingdoms. He was in Babylon as a captive. And Babylon was a world empire. And he had a dream. He had a couple dreams that were repetitive about the same thing. He had a dream about four beasts. And then he saw out of a sea. Then he saw it in a different way. He saw four animals, but there were four of them. And they were all about the next kingdoms coming on the face of the earth. In fact, one of them got very detailed about the third animal, which was Babylon. And then the great world empire next was the Medes and the Persians. And then the one after that was Greece. And we all know the Greek and Alexander the Great. And he saw a ram with a horn, and the interpretation came to him. That's the great king that's going to come out of the nation of Greece and conquer the entire world. And after them will come the nation of Rome. And so he has these dreams, and they're repetitive. And you need to understand that, because God will at times speak to you like he did Peter in that vision three times. How many know some of us are thick-headed? Come on, all the thick-headed people say amen. We're thick-headed sometimes, and there are repetitive dreams the Lord gives us for a reason, to impress it upon us. And so there's repetitive dreams. Then there are nightmares. Job 7, he talks about, he complains of the dreams that God terrifies him with. Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, we talked about how he was alarmed and terrified of the dream. And Matthew 27, I put this one up here just so you read. This is during when Jesus is arrested at the end of his life. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a what?" She said, I've had a nightmare. There's a nightmare. I'd suffered much. And that's all the info we get about this dream that the wife of Pilate has and sends word. "I had a dream, and I know it's from God, and don't have anything to do with this righteous man." It was a dream. I believe it was a dream. So, and then there's predictive dreams, and you can look at all those scriptures. And so, you see, because each and every one of us dreams, everybody in this place has been given the ability to dream. 99% and more of it is simply the process, the way God created us to process our day and to do whatever it is mentally that it does, to process our day and either store it in our memory or heal us, because dreaming means to make whole or bring healing. And so that, so number two, the question I want to ask you is, who then did he give dreams to? We know now kind of why he gave dreams. Who did he give dreams to? And the short answer is this: to whoever he wants to. All right. Everybody has the ability to dream. We all dream. But then there are dreams from God that he uses that channel, just like he does in the other ways that he speaks to us, which is normal ways, through our minds or through a vision, whatever it may be. But who did he give those, like that 1%? Who did he give that 1% of dreams that's from him? Who did he give dreams to? And the answer was anybody he wanted to. Because when you read the Bible, he gave dreams to Pharaoh, wasn't a Christian, Nebuchadnezzar, the baker of Pharaoh, the cupbearer of Pharaoh, the magi. He gave to Joseph. He gave to Daniel. He gave to whoever he wanted to give dreams to, whether they were saved or lost. God will speak to saved and lost people. He will give dreams to saved and lost people. But here is the key of it all. He only gives the interpretation to his followers. He only gives the interpretation always came through his people. When Pharaoh had the dream, only Joseph had the interpretation. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, God gives dreams to anybody, but he only gave the interpretation to Daniel. He didn't give it to the secularist. He didn't give it to Oprah. He didn't give it to John Edwards. He gave it to his people. All right. Daniel 2. Daniel says it this way. Listen to what he says. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals what? And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these." He tells him, "I'm going to tell you, there's only one source of interpreting your dreams, and it's not a secular book. It's not some symbolism that this means this every time and all that." He says, "There is only one source of interpretation in the whole universe, and that's the one that gave it." Come on, somebody. So he says this. He said, "There's a God in heaven, Nebuchadnezzar, who will interpret your dream," because God's communicating through dreams many times. There are tons of books and courses that you can take on how to interpret them. I think on the internet, there's over 1 million websites dedicated to dream interpretation. And how many know that every one of them agree? How many? Every one of them just says the same thing. It's like, listen, Sigmund Freud, I won't even go there, but let me just say his name. Most colleges don't even teach him anymore because he was a pervert. Yeah, he was very, and he interpreted dreams all kinds of sick ways. And so we won't go there, but interpretations belong to God and God alone. They don't belong to those who mock God, and they don't belong to those who mock his word. They don't belong to those who don't pay the price and hear from God, and they're not some humanism. And you need to get that, because the word prophet in the Old Testament, literally the interpretation meant, Harzdar, one of the words for prophet, meant to have the ability to perceive inner vision and the revealer of dreams. But the word prophet, one of the interpretations of the word prophet in the Old Testament. And when Nebuchadnezzar had his disturbing dreams, he did call for the secularists. He called for those that did that, but they could not agree on the interpretation. And then one time I liked it, because one time when the call came out on one of the kings, he said this. They said, "Oh, king, tell us your dream and we will tell you the interpretation. He said, yeah, there's something fishy about it. He said, I'll tell you, here's the deal. You tell me my dream and I'll know you got inside information and power, and then tell me the interpretation. And he said, no one can do that. Okay, nobody. No. And then how many know if the God that gave the dream can tell somebody else the dream? Come on. And I believe it was Daniel. And he tells him the dream. You have to understand that because Job 12 and 22 says of God this. He uncovers the deeps out of darkness and brings deep darkness to light. The next scripture. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light dwells with him. See, God can reveal those things. And when God gives you dreams, you do what James 1 tells us. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Can I tell you something? When you need an interpretation of a dream you've had, and you feel like this is not the 99.5% of processing of the day's events or what I watched or ate or all the rest of the stuff, we always make fun of dream like, dream's just something you ate, you know, rah. It's something God created in us. It's a function of our body. It's a function of our being that I believe is for a purpose and a reason, not just some, what's going to happen to those guys? They distorted. They, mutated into this. God made us with that ability. And one of the keys is to ask the Lord. Look at Genesis 40 and 5 says, and one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king, who were confined in prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. That is very important for me to say that. And listen to this. Each dream has its own interpretation. Do not go to people and say, what do you think my dream meant? Well, you dream about corn. Let me tell you what corn means. Corn's always meant, that's what corn means to them. God didn't give the dream to them. God gave the dream to you. And many times what I do is you may end up perplexed, not knowing, but you didn't need to ask God for wisdom. But many times what I do when I have a dream or I have something, my initial reaction, I write it down very immediately so I don't forget. A short pencil is better than a what? A long memory any day. So question number three, we end up. Question number three is, what about dreams today? Are dreams still valid today? Look what Acts says. Here's what it says about our days. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall do what? Come on, all the old men, say amen this morning. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, before you get too inside about that, the word old men does not necessarily mean old men. The word literally means, it can mean old men, but it can also mean men or people of maturity. People that have understanding. And Joseph was only 17 years old, we believe, when he began to interpret that first set of dreams when he first was taken to the land of Babylon. And the word dreams actually means to dream frequently and continually. So you need to get that. Not only is it dream one dream, but it means to dream frequently and continually. And those of understanding and those. So one of the keys about, let me just give you some examples now. I remember when I first took over the church, and I was young. I was in my early 20s. And I remember I'd gotten so much pressure on me that I had to go get upper and lower GIs. How many ever done that? Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? I was only 22, 23 years old. And so I went in, and they ran the upper and lower GIs on me, and I went through all that. And I remember I sat down, and the guy said, well, you know, the two worst people we have coming in here are pastors and engineers. I had been an engineer in school to become an engineer, and I was a pastor. And I remember after I got the conclusion, I came back, and I had a dream that night. And I dreamed that our church was a general store. And all these aisles of different things. And I'll never forget, I remember over the intercom, Pastor Workman, please come to aisle 4. And so I started going down to aisle 4. And as I was heading toward aisle 4 over the intercom, Pastor Workman, please come to aisle 7. And so I turned around and started going to aisle. And that just kept going. And then finally, one of the cashiers came to me, and she was crying over a hangnail. She had a hangnail. And I'm looking at this thing. And the Lord just spoke to me and helped me get through how delegation, bringing more staff on. Because I only had two other people on staff. One was a secretary. One was help with the maintenance part-time. And I did everything. I cleaned bathrooms. I mowed yards. I vacuumed. You name it. Everything else in between. And so the Lord helped me. And he helped me through a dream. One time I was preparing in the week of a sermon. I'll never forget. And I remember I was praying. And all of a sudden I had a dream. And I was standing here and I was looking up at the sky. And when I looked up at the sky, there was a number in the sky. And after the number was a decimal point. And I remember getting furious at that decimal point because I knew that limited that number. If that decimal point could be gone, that number could be so big. And I remember in my mind knowing that decimal point was fear. I said, that decimal point is fear. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm just praying and I'm trying to think, how am I going to get rid of that fear? How am I going to get rid of that decimal point? And all of a sudden, this is the truth, beside me, it was like a rocket ship took off and there was a huge pencil came by me. This is the truth. And it had this huge eraser on the end of this pencil. And it launched itself up in the air and erased that decimal point. This is spiritual. This is real spiritual. And when that thing came back by me, this truth, I looked on the side of that pencil and on the eraser was huge letters wrote, love. And I woke up and that scripture says, perfect love does what? Cast out fear. And I'm going to tell you, William Branham was a kind of a hero of mine when I was young. And he was one of the men that were healing evangelists in the early Rain movement, they called it. And he was used, I mean, unbelievable. He used to describe it. He said that he was the most prophetic man I ever saw and heard and read about. And he used to say he was like, he used to put his hands on a wall and lift himself up and see over into the spirit realm. But one night he's dreaming and he tells a story. He says, I'm walking down the road and it's like a gravel road. And I walk in and there's this big house at the end of the gravel road. He says, I walk up to it. And when I get near the door, I go up on the porch. I get near the door. He says, I hear a baby crying inside the house. And he says, I knock on the door. A woman opens the door and I walk in and there's a man sitting in a chair over here. And the woman and her husband and I look over and I ask, talk to him a little minute. He said, the baby's sick. The woman says, the baby's sick. He goes over, lays hands on the baby and the baby's completely healed. He was using healing quite a bit. Well, he woke up and didn't think anything about it. Just kind of filed it away. Over a year later, he's walking down a road, and suddenly he realizes his dream comes back to him. There's the house that he saw in his dream. He goes, you know, you're thinking, ooh, ooh, ooh. He walks up, and he goes up on the porch, and he hears the baby crying. He opens the door. The woman that he saw in his dream lets him in. He goes over, lays hands on the baby, prays. Nothing happens. He's perplexed. He begins thinking, trying to remember, and he remembered. He said, oh, wait, there was a man sitting in a chair. The husband, he looks at, the husband's not there. He says, ma'am, is your husband, he'll be home in about 30 minutes. Can I wait on the porch? She said, yes. He waits on the porch. The husband comes. When he comes in, the husband walks over, sits down in the chair, walks over, lays hands on the baby, and the baby's completely healed. Do you know what he said? You know what he said? The Lord spoke to him. He said, the Lord taught me about timings in the matters of God. That there is, and he said, listen, God showed me and taught me there are timings in God. When you begin to understand some of these things, they're literally, you learn so much. I brought this. I normally don't read it, but I want this. You'll never read this in secular history. But there was a time when the third kingdom that Daniel saw, it was Alexander the Great was taking over the world. He was conquering one nation after another. Remember, he had conquered the entire world so fast. And in Daniel's dream, it was like a ram that was speeding across the world. And what you don't know is, and you won't read in secular history, there was a time when Alexander the Great came up to Jerusalem to defeat it in the land of Israel. And I want you to listen to this. Alexander sends word to the high priest in Jerusalem. He's about to take over the city and the nation of Tyre. He sends word for provisions to be given to his army by Jerusalem. The high priest sends word back to Alexander the Great and tells him, I've made an oath to Cyrus the Persian, and I will not break my oath. It infuriates Alexander the Great. He's got all these armies, not only his own army, but every army he conquered, he had them join with him. And he's been going across the world with these other armies and commanders and generals and kings. He's tramping the world. And when word gets to him that they refuse to send provisions because of an oath, he says, send word back when I finish with Tyre, I will teach them who they should keep their oaths to. He destroys Tyre and he marches on Jerusalem. And you should read it. I'm not going to take time to read it. Let me just tell you the story. He marches on Jerusalem. And all the kings are waiting in anticipation of what he's going to do to this high priest. In the meantime, while he's approaching and word gets to Jerusalem what he's about to do, they begin to fast and pray and seek God. And the high priest has a dream that night. And here's what the dream said. Do not be afraid. I'm going to go into all the imagery it is, but the theme was, don't be afraid. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to dress in the high priest attire. I want you to get all your priests dressed in that way. I want you to open the gates of the city wide. And when Alexander approaches with his massive army, I want you to march out of the gate. Be not afraid. I'll protect you. That's what the Lord said. Then the high priest woke up the next morning rejoicing. He dresses, get ready. They hear Alexander is right outside the city, flings open the gates of the city, and the high priest and all come out. Now listen to this. Josephus, you can read, a historian, if you ever want to get the book of Joseph, he says, to the amazement of the other kings of Macedonia, Alexander commands them all to wait. And by himself, he rides up to the high priest, gets off his stallion, listen to this, falls down before the high priest and worships before the high priest. Read the history. They said they thought that Alexander the Great had gone mad, lost his, bonker, whatever, gone crazy. And when one of the commanders had enough to approach him, says, why are you worshiping the high priest? He says, I'm not worshiping the high priest. I'm worshiping the God whom this high priest serves. Because when I was still in Macedonia contemplating whether or not I was to go against the Medes and the Persians, I dreamed a dream. Listen to this. And in my dream, a man attired like this high priest approached me in my dream and says, the God of heaven has given you the world to conquer. Therefore, rise up and conquer the Medes and the go cry. And he tells, and he says, and having seen no one else dressed like this in all the countries I've been to, I ascertain that this was the one, and this was the God that gave me the dominion of the earth. And he said, the high priest rejoiced, which I would have rejoiced too. And they led Alexander into the city and read it. He says, they got the book of Daniel and opened up the book of Daniel and showed Alexander the place where Daniel had prophesied what he would do. Come on, somebody. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? And all of it occurred because of two dreams. Are dreams of God? Absolutely. 99% of yours is just processing. They absolutely. But there are that avenue God wants to use. Let me tell you how you work. When little Samuel was brought by his mother Hannah to Eli the priest, the Bible says little Samuel would one day be a great prophet Samuel. But when he began, the Bible says he was young. He goes to sleep in the temple or in the place where Eli was. In the night, God comes and says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel jumps up and runs to Eli and says, what do you want, Eli? I don't want anything. Go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel, second time. What do you want, Eli? Go back to bed. And then the third time, Eli says, hey, listen, it's the Lord speaking to you. Next time you hear that, say, Hear my Lord, what do you want? And your servant is listening. He said, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Let me tell you something about dreams. You may have not known what the Lord was doing in your life. You may not be real up on it. Let me tell you, there is a teacher in heaven that can teach you and reveal to you. And let me encourage you. You know, understand that it's a part of you, just like your body does, and processing of physical stuff and the way and all that stuff. But also there's a processing of mentally. But there is those times when the Lord will speak to you in a dream. He will guide you. He will warn you. All kinds. And do like little Samuel did. Say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And write it down. And then do this. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, can you open me? Help me know what this means. And don't be fretful if you don't get it immediately. Because like William Branham, a year down the road. And then he learned the timings of God. But I want you to just lay everything aside. And then stand up. Just stand up just a minute this morning. And a little different, I know. But I felt the Lord was going to help, because it saved my dad's life. And it brought people and gave my dad, I don't know how many more years, because I believe it would have been disastrous otherwise. And the Lord helped. And I just felt the Lord tell me that some of you God was going to help and direct and guide and do. And there, it really is valid. So, Father, you told us that those of mature understanding and those of maturity would dream frequently and dream continually. And so I pray, oh God, that the way that you speak to us, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to, even in this season, when you dreams were so prevalent, Lord, at the very first year of the birth of the Lord, that first Christmas, how you kept giving dream after dream after dream after dream to Magi and Joseph and directed them, Lord, over and over and over again. I pray, oh Lord, that you would speak. Lord, we want to hear your voice. And Lord, we don't want to discount anything that's of you. We want to have wisdom in all that we listen and all that we try to understand. Give us wisdom. And we love you with all our hearts, and we give you the praise. Everybody said a good amen. Hey, can you give the Lord a good clap offering today? Would you do that?